Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. The beginning is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we are an interactive Bible study. What is that? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and participate. Amen? You can call in the number, which is 347 937-4054, and you can participate. You can be a part of this dialogue. And for those of you that call in, we do appreciate your calls. Amen. We're going to move forward. As we move forward, we're going to have prayer. We'd like to remind you that any message that has come across New Beginnings Ministries Blog Talk Radio, you can archive. You can go into Blog Talk Radio. Once you go into Blog Talk Radio, then you would type in New Beginnings Ministries, or you look for New Beginnings Ministries, and then you can pull up any archive, amen, that's Blog Talk Radio, and then you would go into New Beginnings Ministries, and you would pull up the archive. You would have to type in, "We Can Begin Again," and that gives you access into the archives. We can begin again. That's what we are all about. We can begin again, amen. Once again, we do thank you. As we move forward, we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to come from a biblical perspective this evening. We're going to try something a little different, amen, and a little different. We're going to have prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we pray for those that stand in the need of prayer. James Hobbs, Diane Hobbs, Luke Owens Jr., June Franklin, Tanette and Billy Dickerson, Stuart Hawthorne. Father, Lord, there's so many that are on our list that we can't name them, but we thank you for knowing that you know who they are. We ask, Father, that you would bless them in a merciful way. Amen. We ask, Lord, that you would, we would all be on one accord, that we would touch and agree, Heavenly Father, that whatever it is that they're going through, Heavenly Father, that you would bless them. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We give you all the honor, the glory, and praise. Father, we ask that you bless the words of our mouth as we share your word this evening. We pray, Lord, that someone who is listening may be able to apply it to their lives. We thank you for the word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you for your word. What would we do without you? We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, we're going to be looking at doing a study, and it's coming from the author, theologian, Jim Van Pren. Most of this information is coming from his text, and we're going to be moving forward there. We'd like to acknowledge where our information is, our resources is coming from, and we're looking at a biblical view of conflict. And when we look at the biblical view, most Christians hold a false notion about conflict. The false notion follows two sides, a right and a left-handed view of God and the church. Two sides. There's a right and a left-handed view of God and the church. The left-handed believers are those that see God as an all-loving God who wants to emphasize acceptance and forgiveness. The left-handers typically discourage any thought or talk about conflict from a personal or a private view. Amen? Discourage any thoughts or any talk about conflict that's personal or private, and that's because they emphasize acceptance and forgiveness. Now, conflict, they reason, is sin, and the results of a human rebellion in the Garden of Eden. So it's the sin and the results of a human rebellion in the Garden of Eden. So therefore, when we look at that, all conflict is bad. Left-handed believers often, they want to be positive and loving at all times. Peace is kept from the left-handed believers by avoiding, denying, or running from conflict. Now, that's the left-handed side, the left-handed believers. Then you have the perspective of the right-handed believers. And there are those who see God as omnipotent, who want to emphasize truth and authority. Now, the left-handed believer, they typically view conflict in terms of power. They view it as in terms of power. Now, conflict is about, to them, to the right-handed, conflict is about control. It's about control. For these, conflict is necessary to separate the sheep from the goats. They look at conflict to defend or preserve sound doctrine and prove who's right or who's wrong. You don't even like that. Right here, the believers are often quick to point out how they have insight, authority, or anointing that others do not possess. Now, those are the two. That's the left-handed believers and the right-handed believers. Now, both positions have some basis in Scripture. And what is that? That the human conflict can be consequences of sin. Okay? But not all conflict thing we want to make, not keep. Paul describes the church as God's agent to unfold his redeeming plan. And if you look at Ephesians, 3:10, 6 through 12, and it says, while our struggles is against the rulers, and it's against authorities, it's against powers of darkness of the world, it's against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. Now, Paul says that. Paul states that. So, when you start influences where you arrive, if you begin with the notion of avoiding sin, such as the left-hander, or defending doctrine on the right as the right-hander, full discovery of God and his redemptive purpose, then the whole redemptive purpose is lost. What am I saying? I'm saying that a redemptive view of conflict requires a full biblical view. Now, regarding truth, truth is vital. Paul made it clear in his instructions to Timothy and Titus, firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that they can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And that's coming from Titus 1:9. A trustworthy message requires a church to keep its trust. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Holding on, trust means, in someone, means that it's controlled. Paul is encouraging here to Timothy, he criticizes the Pharisee. What is the difference? Paul followed Jesus and his teaching, and knowing the doctrine is secondary to being faithful. Let me say that again. And we talked about a doctrine before. Paul followed Jesus and his teaching, and knowing that doctrine is secondary. What is the secondary of? Secondary of being faithful. He goes on to say that it is not the letter, but the spirit of the law that men must follow. This is the root of most conflict between Jesus and the righteous leaders. Think about it. It was over the law. Not the spirit, but over the law. Jesus' life and action challenged, and he reinterpreted and sometimes contradicted the accepted doctrine or the practice of the Pharisees. He went with the sinners. He healed on the Sabbath. He pronounced forgiveness, something only God can do. Jesus broke all the rules. The Pharisees elevated the literal word of the law above the incarnation of the word. Let me say that. The Pharisees elevated the literal word of the law above the incarnation of the word, meaning that the law was more important than the word of God. Now, this may be a sobering lesson for those who follow today, that the Pharisees would elevate knowledge of the word above submission to one another. Paul looked at this as spiritual arrogance and not holiness. That was his claim. What does Scripture say about conflict? It says that what causes fights and calls and what causes fights among you, they don't come from your desire, but it's the battle within you. What does that mean? That means that when you want something and you can't get it, you're ready to battle. Kill, they covet it, but you cannot have, you do that when you cannot have what you want. You quarrel, you fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. Rather than having what you want, going before God and asking God is where we're going with this. The Bible even says you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. That you may, and what are the wrong motives? The wrong motives is that you ask, but it's when God rewards you. And sometimes he doesn't reward you is because you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Ask of God to get me out of, or let me say, ask of God and he rewards you abundantly. And rather than going before God, that human flesh steps in, and then all of a sudden we begin to start to satisfy the desires of the flesh. The Bible says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Why do you think that Scripture says without reason that the Spirit causes you to live in us and invite us intensely? Spirit lives in us and invites us. It's always, the Spirit is always tugging at us. The Spirit is always pulling at us so that we do not fall for the flesh, but we would begin to become intensely invited in the Spirit. Gives us more grace. He blesses us over and over and over again. And it says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near God, and he will come near you. Let me say that. Come near God, and he will come near you. It goes on to say to wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Conflict is a result of unwanted and unfulfilled desires. It is unwanted because the desires is for personal pleasure and self-promotion. For understanding or seeking God's will, it is unfulfilled because of our emotions. Like our desires, it is self-seeking. And it may be that we might breeze over these words quickly and letting ourselves off easy with human desire. After all, keep in mind, we are human. We're human. Fall short. We make mistakes. Friendship with the world, it is really bad. And that's what it's saying here. James calls the adulterer. He talks about scripture being and the self-desires of sexual misconduct. The prophet Jeremiah is even more graphic, comparing God's people to camels and donkeys in heat. We do not take desire lightly. Conflict is the heart. I'm going to say it is in the heart of all conflict. Conflict is in the heart of everyone. It comes from the heart. I'm going to stop there and open it up for any comments as we move on in terms of understanding what the word conflict means. Now, we've talked over it, but understanding the word conflict. Any comments? I always say it's normally when it's quiet out there, either they're listening.
Well, you know, looking at the word conflict in itself, especially from the biblical point of view, there's that sense of dividedness. And sometimes we can, as we go through life, maybe because of the conscience ego and alter ego, you know, you have the devil on your left shoulder and angel on your right shoulder, and one person is telling you to feel this, to do this, talk about this person. The Christian angel on another side, another ear, whispering to you, is yelling to you, don't do it. Demonstrate love, kindness. We're faced with those challenges unconsciously on a daily basis. So we have to introspectively examine ourselves. Why are we doing what we're doing? Are we doing things to make things better for others? Are we going to tithe? Are we going to take money and buy a pornographic tape? What is our motivation? And then act accordingly, that either we're with God or we're not. Mm-hmm. And that's what Brother John was actually saying to us. But it relates, but each of us have to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, how does this actually relate to us? And then take the appropriate action. A person might earn $1 million a year and they're just so unhappy, and they're spending on worldly items, and they're very unhappy. You have someone who's making $50,000, and they're tithing to the church, and they have a used Volkswagen, and they have a family that is intact, and their needs are being met, and they realize they're being blessed. Other person does not. So anyway, you really have to look at where you're at. What is your thinking? Where is your spirituality at? And then act accordingly. We're constantly in a state of growth or lack of growth, depending on what our choice is. Because God did give us the ability to have a choice. Predestination, where everything is just pre-planned. You know, this is what you're going to do. But God gave us the ability to make a choice. And that's going to determine what our position is and our outcome and what our growth potential is going to be.
Amen.
How we're going to affect other people,
amen,
whether it be in a positive or a negative word.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 God does give us choices. He does give us choices.
We also have to recognize we're both students and teachers. So in that respect, we have to understand that we're learning, but we're also teaching. People are watching us, and it's a matter of what are you teaching? What are you learning?
Amen. Amen. Any more comments? Mic's open. Any more comments? Amen. Amen. Understanding the word conflict. The word conflict is assumed everywhere and stated almost nowhere in Scripture. In fact, he goes on to say that the New International Version of the Bible translates the word conflict only twice, once in each testament. Habakkuk 1:3, it says, "What you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong, destruction, and violence are before me, and there is conflict that abounds." That's Habakkuk. In Galatians 5:7, it says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. The flesh and the spirit. That's the conflict. One wants to do, the flesh wants to satisfy the desires of the flesh. In Galatians, Paul is describing it as a spiritual tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. Think about it. The spirit is pulling you one way, and the flesh is pulling you another. Each opposes the other, and they are lined up in conflict, face to face. Drawing is like, they're almost like boxers. It almost echoes a spiritual battle, such as in Ephesians, when it talks about, we talked about in terms of spiritual warfare. Here again, however, we need to receive Paul's word in the context of a biblical community. We are a biblical community. And when we look at the word of God and how Paul describes this war. We have to understand that there's a conflict going on all the time. This is not a personal context. It says that my flesh against my spirit, in which I try harder to be better. Have you ever been there? The flesh against the spirit, in which you're saying, I'm trying harder to be better. To be better, how? To be better, to be more like Christ. To not allow my fleshly desires to always consume my whole being. God's word and spirit are powerful, but not sufficient. Because they are not, that's not the full story. Galatians, Ephesians, and the great majority of the scripture were written to and for God's people. God's remedy for spiritual battle is not the spirit and the word working through me to defeat my desires. The word and the spirit must have a social and a spiritual context in through which the full work of God may be achieved. The bottom line is the full work of God may be achieved. God places this for the church. It is through the people of God that the empowering presence of God's Spirit is released to lead us to the power of the Spirit. And that comes through spiritual gifts, spiritual fruits of brothers and sisters, we mutually submit to declare to the lordship of Christ over sinful desires. Let me say that again. We mutually submit to declare the lordship, declaring God over our sinful desires. Declaring God over our sinful desires. As we walk by the Spirit together, we are forgiven. Think about it. All the sin that we do, as we walk by the Spirit together, we are forgiven. God has forgiven us. And He's not holding what we did against us, because He's God. God desires for us to be changed, renewed, and transformed. Now, it might be necessary for you to pause and process these words in context in your personal life and struggle. But let me say it directly. Stop trying to save yourself. God does not require or intend for you to defeat the desires of yourself. Trying to do it will lead you into conflict, not resolve it. No matter how diligent you are in private devotion and personal prayer, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:13 talks about that. Give as the Lord forgave you. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord was servant, and He did not quarrel. He didn't quarrel with anyone. Jesus walked earth and did not quarrel with anyone. He was kind to everyone. and he was able to teach, and not in a resentful way. It was all out of love. 2 Timothy 2:24 talks about that. Now, there are five biblical truths about conflict. And before I move into that, I'm going to open up the mics for any comments. Amen. There are five biblical truths about conflict, spiritual warfare that we have.
No, I just
want
to interject right here. This last part that you said. You know, I'm just listening to everything. I'm writing things down. But this last part, how you said that Jesus never quarreled with anyone, that's so very good. And that should give us show us the example of how the Word arrested any kind of argument, just like when he was in the, like Pastor Dawn had brought, like when he was in the wilderness, how he talked back to the enemy, and what he said arrested any kind of quarrel, shut him down. And I like that. What you were saying is that when you said Jesus didn't quarrel with anyone, and that's how we should be. You know what? We should be walking around in such a peace and such an authority where if the enemy comes with something, and I call people sometimes strange fruits, where, and the Bible said you shall know them by the fruits that they bear. So when they come out of left field, you know, we can come back with the Word. Now, if they say, well, how do you know? Well, look, it's not me that's telling you, but the Word of God is telling you. And even I don't even have to go through that. The Word will shut them down like Arsenio used to say, sometimes you got to, you know. What you're saying, Elder John, is so true. Jesus didn't go around with a lot of fights. And sometimes us in the body of Christ will be combative with one another or the world. We'll be combative with them. We'll be going back and forth with them. And, you know, we don't have to. You know, read the Word. You know, if they receive it, so be it. If they don't, what did he say? Wipe the dust off your feet and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm finished.
Amen. Good analogy. Thank you for that. Amen. And that's, you know, when I think about that, and as you say that, I think about that. What is the greatest gift that we have?
Love. The Word. Amen.
Love runs for another. It's fruits of the Spirit. Love.
Oh, love. Amen.
Love is not a fighter. Love is not a fighter.
That's right.
You never can imagine love fighting. If anything, love is embracing. Love is encouraging.
Amen.
Love is picking someone up. Love is helping someone when they're down. And even in the wilderness. He didn't argue. Jesus didn't argue. He just said, get thee behind me.
And I just want to say this as well. You know, when we even correct, just like you said, love, right? We can correct in love and wisdom. You know, it's just about love. You're right, Pat.
This the whole piece on conflict. There's a lot that goes with it, but that's another piece in conflict and how we approach our brothers and sisters.
And I just want to say one more thing before you go on. When you were saying there's nothing in the Bible that talks about, you know, straightforward conflict. I mean, you gave us two scriptures that talked about conflict. But if we read, well, we are reading the Bible in different scriptures, we see that, okay, it's not outwardly saying conflict, but we know the conflict is there. There's indications of conflict always being there, you know, and it doesn't come to mess us up like you were saying. It actually comes to pull us in, you know, to a more will of God.
That you see in terms of mentioning the word.
Amen.
Mentioning the word conflict.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
mention the word conflict.
No,
know,
it doesn't.
Says the word is assumed everywhere, but stated almost nowhere in history. Assumed. So when
right.
we see things happening, that's the conflict. But it's not mentioned.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's not mentioned. It's not mentioned. It's not mentioned
amen.
Nowhere in the scripture.
No. Amen.
So, and that's a good piece, and I thank you for elaborating on that. As we move on, there's five biblical truths as we come into the close of this this hour. Five biblical truths about conflict.
Jesus, already? Okay. We're ready.
Number one, conflict. Well, it says, well, let me just go with this. And it gives two scriptures. In 2 Timothy 2:24, it says the Lord was, we talked about quarreling, and the other, the context is, I'm looking, there was another scripture here that's
mm-hmm.
not here. I'm not even going to go into it. Number one, conflict. Conflict is a broken relationship.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Conflict is a broken relationship. What do I mean by a broken relationship? Conflict is a spiritual collision. It's a spiritual collision, spiritually colliding with the flesh.
Wow. Wow.
Conflict is inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. It will always be. It will always be. But how do we handle conflict? And that is the key.
What choice are we making?
Choices that we're making. Do we choose anger, or do we choose to evade and eventually make something worse? It's almost like seeing someone, conflict, seeing someone or going through something, and you know, you walk away and you find yourself angry, and then eventually you become angrier the more you think about it, and the more you think about it, angrier, and before you know it, you've blown up. You're blown
mm-hmm.
up every time you see that person. You're blown up. Guess what? You're
wow.
going the opposite direction.
So true.
You're
wow.
going the opposite direction, getting away, mm-hmm. far away from the tent. So how can you be in the house of worship and worship our Lord and Savior in that state of mind?
Mm, that's true. There's a breach in the spirit. Yeah. There is.
So conflict
mm.
is a broken relationship. It's
okay.
a spiritual collision. Conflict is inevitable. Conflict is necessary also. And
mm-hmm.
conflict is also an opportunity. Conflict is also an opportunity. How is it an opportunity? It's an opportunity to witness.
And to learn. And to teach.
And to learn. And to teach. All conflict involves broken relationships. This includes relationships between humanity and God. Let me say something. Let me say it again. All conflict involves broken relationships. This includes relationship between humanity and God. Between humanity and God. Humanity and others, there's a conflict. There's a conflict with humanity and self. There's a conflict. There's a conflict with self and humanity, or even with the created world, both this world, cosmos, and when I say the cosmos, I'm talking about heaven. There's a conflict.
Amen.
Conflict is inevitable. Relationship implies on common life shared with a common language. That's what a relationship is. Relationship is a common life shared by a common language. It is the ability to be able to communicate thoughts, actions, and feelings in truth and love. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when there's a conflict, that we don't evade it, You don't become aggressive and blame it on someone else or go after that person like a pit bull, but we respond in truth and love. We go at it directly in truth and love. And any other way that we go against it is a sin in God's eyes.
Wow.
Any other way that we go, if it's not God's way, it is a sin. In Genesis, the account of the creation of the garden is described as a paradise of perfect relationship. That was the most perfect relationship that God could create. And God spoke into the world and into being, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then God gave an animate creation identity through naming. God called light day.
Mm-hmm.
God called darkness night. Spiritual collision. So while conflict is a broken relationship, conflict is in churches also. It's not limited to people. Conflict is relational, even though it happened in the Bible. Conflict is relational and spiritual. Believers or anyone in the cosmic, there is going to be a battle. As I said before, remember, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authority, against the powers, against the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And that is in Ephesians 6:12. The good news is that Christ is greater. Christ is greater. And he is Lord over all. In the name of Jesus, on the basis of his resurrection, the church is given authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
Amen.
Let me say that again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Christ, on the basis of his resurrection, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Resurrection, hallelujah. The church is given authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
That's so good.
Conflict is inevitable.
Oof.
If all conflict is relational and spiritual, let me say, if all conflict is relational and spiritual, it follows that Christians will face conflict.
Mm-hmm.
We are relational and spiritual beings. Let me say that again. We are relational and spiritual beings. Conflict like sin and death is inevitable. We must deal with it. The Apostle Paul in the Characteristics and Frankness lay the problem out succinctly. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature, so that you do not do what you want to do. Rebellion is not anything new. That's not new news. Rebellion is not new news to us. Wherever there are people, even good people, there will become conflict. It is inevitable until Christ returns. Conflict is necessary. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. He still maintains his integrity through your incited, and even though you have incited him, he will not run away without any reason." "Skin for my skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his life, but will stretch out his hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well. Then he is in your hand, but you must bear his life." As you know, Satan had to ask permission to test Job and Peter. He had to ask for permission. Are you in the heat of the battle? Those of you who listen, are you in the heat of the battle? Do you feel constantly pounded? If so, think about the blacksmith who shapes iron. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And trust me, God is faithful not to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But you are tempted, and he will always, if you are tempted, he will always provide a way so that you can stand up under it. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Satan may heat and conflict may pile. Within God's rhythm, God will never put more on you than you can bear. God holds us up. He holds us up. He holds all of us up. Number five, lastly, conflict is opportunity. Paul wrote that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor powers, neither heights nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28-38-9. What we want, we want instant answers. God shapes eternal purposes. He shapes it. We are all temporal. Even though that we are temporal, God sees our eternal glory. Hallelujah. As we have seen, conflict is a broken relationship. It is a spiritual collision. It is inevitable, and it is even necessary. Most of all, conflict is an opportunity to trust God for positive change, to make peace. That's a whole other story about being a peacemaker. Conflict is passive. It can be passive. It can be evasive. It can be defensive. And it can be aggressive. Each response is common, yet unbiblical. Let me say this again. A person can be evasive, defensive, aggressive, and even passive. That's a common response. But yet, they are unbiblical. Why? Because it always leads us into greater conflict. Presently, facing recurring conflict that you're likely to face again in the near future. As we continue to move into the Holy Week, we must remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For you and for me, he died.
Thank you, Jesus.
Take time to appreciate the life that God has given you through the Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us the doctrine of justification. What is justification? He died for our sins as a substitute for our guilt. Amen. And our shame. The Cajun side of it is Jesus has called us to a new way of thinking and living, as well as to claim forgiveness for our sin. As we move into Easter, you have something to rejoice about. It's not just another day. It's not just another day. If you reflect on done on the cross, if you reflect on justification, if you reflect on sanctification, you have something to rejoice about. God has made a way for you and me. God wants us to remember him and what he died for. It is not just another day. Sure, we get up and rejoice every day, but Easter Sunday, this holy week that we're going through, should have a special purpose, a special place in your life. It has a special place in mine. So whatever you're going through, whatever conflict that you may be dealing with, God will put no more on you than you can bear. Don't handle it on your own. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. What does that mean? That means stand and wait on God. And if the situation is there, confront it with love. Confront it with love. We are peacemakers, not war. That is a biblical response to our challenge. Any comments?
No, but could you run down those five, because I missed two. Could you run them down again, what you said about the broken?
Conflict is necessary?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Conflict is inevitable?
Yes.
Conflict is an opportunity?
Yes.
Conflict is a spiritual collision?
Okay.
And conflict is a broken relationship.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Hallelujah. Any comments before we close? My God, my God.
This is a good word. Very good.
And we should really take this in seriously, and put it into practice, application in our lives. Actually realize that conflict is there. We all face it. But actually take application and deal with it appropriately. And the number one relationship is that relationship between ourselves and God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want there to be a broken relationship there.
Amen.
Or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Any more comments? My goodness. We do thank you for tuning in once again, and we pray that you will have a happy Easter. Amen. And I truly mean happy in the Lord.
Amen.
Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. May God bless you, and once again.
I taste the dawn of each brand new.